is Deanna, and our second guest today for the next 2 hours is Stefan Verstappen, and he is the author of The Art of Urban Survival and the 36 Strategies of Ancient China, and his main website is ChinaStrategies.com, and he's, let's see, he wrote A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior. He's a very interesting guest, as all of my guests are. And the last time he was on, which was just in September, and with all the things that are going on, I thought, oh my gosh, we've got to have another chat. Anyway, Stefan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. I just walked in the door, just in time.
Oh my goodness. Did you get everything taken care of that needed to be taken care of?
Well, never everything. There's a lot of things that need to be taken care of, but my immediate needs are met, yes.
Oh, thank goodness. I was concerned. So I'm glad. I'm really glad.
Yeah, it's been one endless, and I guess that's for everybody. This has been a terrible year. Oh my God.
For sure. Wow.
And the further it goes on, the worse it gets, you know. Anyways, I'm back now. Just got in the door. As I was opening the door, I heard the phone ring.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What great timing.
Yeah. No, because I have to rely on, my neighbor to drive me into town, you know.
Sure.
And I kept saying, can we go a little bit faster? can we go a bit faster? But, you know. Anyways, I got to get my own car on the road soon, and
sure.
Then I don't have to depend on people. I hate depending on people.
Sure.
Oh.
Wow.
So what are we talking about today, Deanna?
Oh, how about let's talk about psychopaths?
But that we talked about last time.
I know. Let's talk about the things that have happened that have occurred since last time, and of course we know that the selections/elections were very interesting because it just got everybody sort of, well, it just got everybody up in arms. It divided the country. And the country was divided before that with the unmitigated violence in many cities, Portland and just all over, that just seemed to go on and on. And there was, I have never seen, maybe I just didn't notice, but I have never seen such a division among the two political parties as I witnessed just recently. And I don't watch TV, but just from the internet, and just exchanging ideas with other people. I've just never seen such a division that borders on hatred of people, that families are torn apart, that even marriages are torn apart.
Mm-hmm.
People who used to be very close to each other are no longer friends. And I've never witnessed that before. It was always, it used to be not a big deal. You went and you voted and that was it.
It
wasn't a big deal, but now it has divided the country.
Yeah, and which is of course the entire intention all along.
Sure.
Yeah. And the way it has divided friends and family and you know, it's the same thing with me. I've lost, I think, every friend I've ever had now. Not just because of the politics, you know, because, you see, I am apolitical. I don't believe in either party, you know.
I don't either.
And I don't believe in the entire system. I think it's all just
a
show. You know. They put on this big circus every 4 years, and oh, you are in charge of deciding the future, and oh, please, you know, you know, That's all very nice and dandy. And then they said, well, you know, but if you don't vote, then Nancy Pelosi will get in or whatever. But it doesn't matter, does it? You know, everybody voted for Trump and he was going to build the wall and he was going to do this and he was going to do. And did he? No, of course not. He's going to clean out the swamp and he's going to arrest Hillary. Well, did he? No, of course not. You know, like, of course, that's the psychopathic system that we're in. The psychopaths run things and they make sure that nobody comes within 1,000 miles of the White House into any kind of position of power that isn't already a psychopath and that has already been, you know, converted to their cause, that they know the talking points. You know, you don't even have to tell them. Everybody knows what the talking points are. The talking points are now communism is great, capitalism is bad, you know, and that's it.
Which is incredible. And the fact is, I read on one site that, oh, if we're not careful, if we don't stop this, we're going to become a communist country. Well, hey, we have been a communist country for a very, very long time.
That's right.
we're not going to become, we have arrived a long time ago.
A long time ago, that's right. And so, hello, wake up and smell the coffee. You are a communist. Somebody posted on, you know, cause I put out a couple of videos like how it will go down, in which I, bring my creative writing skills into writing it like a short story about a family and what it would be like for them when this is all played out, you know. So it is kind of, rather than just tell you things, I put it in a story form and it's been quite effective. I have a few of those videos, they're quite popular, but somebody posted, well, when is this all going to start happening?
Right. Hey.
Hello.
Wake up.
Now, like, this is not going to happen. We're in it. This is it now.
Right.
We are at a really very, very dangerous time in history. I can't believe that this communism is taking hold, because anybody that has studied history knows that communism is without a doubt the worst political system ever devised. It brings nothing but death and misery everywhere it's been implemented. There's not a single example of anywhere in the world where communism made people's lives better. You know, what, Venezuela, Cuba, Bulgaria, Russia.
We have to look and see, okay, were they really communist? Or was it just the U.S. military / government that decided, oh, we need to fight this oppressive regime? Because actually, the U.S. government should not be the world's policeman.
No, of course not. What business is it of Americans to police everybody else's business? I'm staunchly an isolationist.
Me too.
You know, American troops should not go overseas. That's it, period.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with that. And yet, earlier, the Mexican War, 1840s.
Okay.
And then you had, the invasion of China.
Don't forget, Americans that burned and looted the Imperial Palace.
Sure.
Yeah, during the Boer War, the Boxer Rebellion.
Exactly. And that was later on. That was, what year was the Boxer Rebellion? It was later on. Because Rockefeller was in China first. He was there as early as 1863.
Yep.
With his snake oil and, he saw a great big market.
Yeah. Actually, it was a Jewish family called the Sassoons.
Right, exactly.
And
they were there first.
they were instrumental in spreading the opium addiction throughout China. Geez, right. Where have we seen that before? You know,
with the Sacklers here in this country?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's part of their strategy. They wanted to weaken China. And so, and China was being difficult at that time because there was a difference in trade outcome. The Chinese didn't want anything from the West, you know, maybe a few mechanical clocks, that kind of stuff, but they really didn't want wool from Ireland or anything like that. And so whatever they traded for, the West had to pay silver.
Mm-hmm.
And so the silver reserves in England were starting to run low. They wanted tea, they wanted silk, they wanted porcelain, and so, but the Chinese said, no, only pay with silver. We don't want any exchange of goods. So the silver reserves in England started running low, and they said, listen, we're going to be bankrupted of all our silver reserves unless we can find something to sell to the Chinese. And that's when they came up with opium. Now, most people, because of the movies and things like that, associate Chinese with opium addiction, but actually that was a completely foreign habit to them. Right. Before the introduction of opium by the Dutch East India Company and the British East India Company, they were the ones that shipped it in there illegally. It was illegal in China to smoke opium, but they were a bunch of drug smugglers, you know. And finally the Chinese got fed up and said, okay, we're going to shut this down. You know, we can't just imagine like that the Mexican cartels, you know, shipping in tons and tons of methamphetamine and crack and all that, with impunity, you know. Well, eventually they wanted to shut it down because their entire population was being destroyed by opium addiction. So they seized the warehouses where they kept the opium in Canton. And they burned it. Well, this was an outrage. And the Sassoon family and the other traders, the Far East traders, petitioned the government in England, and they sent over a bunch of ironclad steam warships, which was, you know, way outclassed anything the Chinese had at the time. They were still, you know, floating around in wooden junks. Sure. And they bombed the living crap out of China.
Yes. Yes.
From a distance, you know, very cowardly, you know, they sit a half a mile offshore and just lob artillery shells into every village and town, killing lots of people. And there was no way the Chinese could retaliate. They were out of range for their primitive weapons. And then, until finally the Chinese government said, okay, we'll make a deal. And the British said, yeah, okay, well, we're going to take Hong Kong. And that's how Hong Kong became part of the British Commonwealth.
Wow.
So imagine the Mexican drug cartels bombing San Diego.
Imagine, yes.
Uh-huh. And demanding that San Diego open its borders and Mexico gets to keep San Diego and use it as a transport port for all their addiction, all their drugs. Yeah, all about the drug trade. And then, and this continued all the way through to the Vietnam War even.
Through the war.
Yeah. And, but anyways, that's an age old tactic, is to get your population addicted to drugs. It's one of the, you know, the non-linear strategies, the kind of tactics that, the big banks use. And they've used that here, you know, the methamphetamine scourge has destroyed entire communities, killed hundreds of thousands of people.
Right. And you also have to consider Big Pharma as this is the most, the United States takes more Big Pharma drugs than any other country, any other developed country.
Yeah.
We have the highest infant mortality rate, and we have the sickest country in the world. And yet, Americans spend more on drugs than any other country. In fact, it's about 18% of the gross national product. of the domestic national product.
Yeah,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, you know, I came out with a video saying that we are at war. The bankers, the psychopaths in power and their affiliate tribe members have been waging war on America for at least 100 years. And it's a full spectrum war. There are strategies within strategies. So part of this war is the drug addiction, you know, making it, first of all, and spurred on by Hollywood, by the way. All those Hollywood movies in the 60s and 70s made it look so cool if you were on drugs. And there was the whole heroin chic. Remember that? You know, if you're all emaciated and have blackened eyes, then you look cool because it meant you were a heroin addict and that was cool. And so they, you know, encouraged drug addiction from the very beginning, and then they supplied it. You know, they supplied the drugs.
Wow.
And so that
yes.
was one of it.
Yes. And that's the media, which is also being used now to promote COVID vaccine when it becomes yes. available. And the media, you have to look to the media for all this programming that is being done.
Yeah. Listen, the media is one of the most dangerous enemies we have. These people really should be held liable for all the death and destruction, because if it wasn't for them hyping this programming and encouraging all this bad behavior, all those, you know, all those lives that were destroyed, you know, that blood is on the hands of the media, okay?
Right.
They should be held responsible. And if we ever come to a point where we round up all these criminals, all these media pundits should be in the docket, you know?
Right. And yet, they're being used to divide.
Yes.
And so they know that they're liars, and people don't understand that they're liars.
Yep. Yep. No, I took journalism in college, and, you know, what they proposed to teach was completely different than what you see in real life. You
How
know, you
is
were
that?
Supposed to have integrity and, you know,
oh,
my,
right. yeah, all
you
that
know,
stuff.
Supposed to actually investigate it and get the story right. And, you know, my teacher said that, well, if you, for example, if you were writing a historical novel about, the Civil War, and you said General Grant stepped out on August 1st, 1864, and it was a sunny day, he said, you better go back and get the newspapers from that era and make sure it really was a sunny day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, this is the kind of attention to detail and accuracy I was taught in journalism school. But, of course, that doesn't happen now.
Right.
They just make it up. They don't even leave their office. They just, well, actually, I'll tell you what happens. They get the press releases from up on high, and that's all they do. You know, they
right.
read a press release. You know, it's written by somebody they don't even know.
And you have certain Associated Press and, what else do you have?
Yeah, I think it was the Rockefellers founded Associated Press from the beginning, you know,
yes.
as a way of controlling the message.
Right. Oh, okay, we are going to a break. We will be right back momentarily.
It's with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts.
Alrighty, we are back. And our guest is Stefan Verstappen. I just, that sounds so pulled together.
What,
your name? Is, yeah.
Oh, I've always
It just kind of rolls off the tongue very gracefully. And it just, I like your name.
yeah.
You're a pretty good guy, too. But yeah, your name is
thank
is
you, darling.
Very interesting.
Don't tell your husband.
Pardon me?
I said, don't tell your husband.
Oh, that's not a problem. anyway, We were talking about, I've been looking at things, looking for something that I had posted on a website, on one of my monthly websites, as the gross national product, the domestic national product, and it shows from 1965 to the current date, pretty current, about how many drugs and why the gross national product has increased so dramatically. It's domestic product, and you think, my gosh, that's incredible. So it's 18 to 19%, and when you think that we used to be very, very highly productive of numerous things, the steel industry, the textile industry, all these industries that have moved offshore, is just truly amazing how things have changed, how things have been altered, so that we've become a country of services, and it seems that the only people that are producing are the drug manufacturers, and some of them are using offshore trials, clinical trials, although clinical trials and drugs seem kind of like an oxymoron, because you really don't have to go through a big clinical trial. If the FDA approves of a drug, it just means that the company that made the drug paid them some money to have it FDA approved. The FDA do not have any trials of any kind. They right. simply collect the money from the manufacturer and then say, oh, okay, your drug's approved.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's this revolving door between the drug companies and the FDA or any other ABC agency.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, and again, it's all part of the plan. You know, it's part of the plan to destroy Western civilization. Same thing with shipping all our jobs over to China. Now, people should know that China is the most evil regime that has certainly exists today, but might even have ever existed. I mean, the amount of corruption and horror that really goes on in China. Now, when you go to what they call the first tier cities in China, which is Beijing, Shanghai, Shenzhen, you're blown away. I mean, they're ultra modern, you know, skyscrapers. Everything's lit up with neon. It's very exciting, you know, and, I visited all those cities and stayed at the best hotels. Oh my God, the opulence, the luxury, you know. I had meetings with the mayors of Beijing and Shanghai and Shenzhen, you know, big state meetings. We were part of a group of venture capitalists that we were escorting throughout China and taking them on a tour of all the potential investments. This was in 2000, already 20 years ago. And, yeah, fantastic. But what you don't see is that beyond that, the extremes of poverty and the pollution in China. You know, I get really upset here, especially here in Canada with, you know, now we got that Justin Trudeau psychopath standing up there saying, oh, you know.
You mean Castro's son?
Yeah, Castro's bastard son, you know, literally yeah. son of a bitch, because his mother was a lunatic. She was completely neurotic, if yes. not psychotic, you know. I wouldn't even doubt if she was an MK Ultra sex slave or something
Could
like that.
Could have been.
Could have been, because that woman is way off the hook, you know. And she was passed around at parties, you know. I'm pretty sure Pierre, her husband, got off on watching, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
You know, that's my hunch, you know, but I've got good instincts now, Deanna. After all these years, I've been everywhere. I've seen it all, you know, And I've got pretty good instincts for that. But anyway, he's standing up there and now, well, you know, new carbon taxes, new restrictions, new climate change regulation. And he's saying, oh, if Canadians want to breathe fresh air, what are you talking about? Look at Canada. It's twice the size of the United States.
Right. Oh, okay. We do have a break. We'll pick this up on the other side. Be right back.
You know the answer's so simple to find.
Alrighty, we are back with our guest, Stefan Verstappen. And you were talking about your visit to China. And I think before the so-called communist revolution, things were different.
Well, China, you know, I'll tell you why the communists like China. Because the Chinese never developed a republic. They never developed a democracy. Not that democracy is great, but they never developed an electoral system that would elect your leaders. And so the Chinese are well conditioned and well trained to always follow a single dictator. Now in the past, those dictators were called emperors. And I think there's something to that, you know, that's why the communists liked the Chinese, because they're already pre-programmed to follow the dictates of the government. They don't, you know, and they also have a long tradition of never question authority. You know, Chinese don't question authority. When I began teaching in China many years ago, at the end of the class or at the end of the lesson or at the end of some explanation, I would always ask, are there any questions? And nobody ever had a question. Nobody ever had a question. And I asked some of this is when I first got there, I didn't know better. And I asked some of the other teachers, I said, well, how come nobody ever asks a question? Well, it'd be impolite to ask a question because that would be challenging your authority as a teacher. You see, in school in China, they do not use what we call the Socratic method, whereby, you know, you ask questions of your students and the students ask questions of the teacher. And it's through asking and answering these questions that, you know, wisdom is transferred. The Chinese have no system like that. The Chinese students are expected to memorize every word the teacher says and then regurgitate that in the final exam. And so they are never taught to think for themselves. Well, fertile ground for communism, because anybody that can think for themselves would quickly realize that communism is a horrible, horrible system. And so that's why, and that's why China now is being held up as the standard. That's why they moved all our jobs over there, because it's a lot easier to control the Chinese people, because they've been controlled for 4,000 years. Just do as you're told. Don't ask questions. That is the mentality of the Chinese people. The vast majority of
kind of the mentality of the students now, where you just go and you get information and then you regurgitate it, which is a good word, back in a test, because actually the school system itself, public schooling, government schooling is really a relatively new kind of institution. It used to be homeschooling was what people did.
Yeah. And in homeschooling, it was more, I would say, organic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was more natural way of learning. What they're doing now, and again, this is why, you know, this whole social credit system that, the Chinese have, it's already here, already the social credit system. God forbid you should speak out against the phony beer virus. You know, you're going to be doxxed, you're going to be fired, you're going to be deplatformed, you're going to have your bank account shut down. What's that if not the social credit system? You said something you're not allowed to say. And so you will be punished severely. Now, so far, they are not dragging us off into gulags, but that's only a year away. That's where this will eventually end up. If people aren't fighting back every day against this, they will just simply come and take you and put you in a camp, and the camp where your life expectancy drops dramatically. You know, so that's where they're going with this. And that's why China, that's why they shipped all our jobs over there. You know, when I went over there in 2000, you've probably heard of these, ghost cities, right? If you haven't, Google it and Google it on YouTube, China ghost cities. You'll be astounded that there are dozens, if not hundreds of cities. I mean, modern cities with skyscrapers and schools and factories and high rises and hospitals and parking and light rail transit, and nobody lives there. They just built them. You know, how could they afford to build cities from the ground up? What was 5 years earlier, nothing more than paddy fields. Now you have a modern city the size of San Francisco appear, and still nobody lives there. And I saw that. They used to take us around, you know, when I was doing this tour with the venture capitalists, and we were shown all this stuff. And, you know, and all these buildings, we went through them again, super modern, efficient, clean. Nobody worked there. Nobody lived there. It was bizarre. You know, but this was already built up in advance. This was already 20 years ago that they were doing that. This was pre-planned to ship all our jobs over there. Well, why? Because the corporations like it. They get to pay slave wages. They get to work these people, you know, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. No paid vacation. They get, well, they get half a Sunday off, you know.
That was kind of the way that slave labor, well, not slave labor, but something, factory, when people first opened factories here, especially on the East Coast with the textile industry, they would have child labor.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They would work these children 12 hours a day. They would keep them on site. It was pretty terrible. Now I was in China. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know the children would sleep under the desk in the
right.
Factory. Yeah.
When I was in China in 2007, and the smog in Beijing by noon was so bad that you couldn't breathe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's why the Chinese were wearing those masks for so long. And this is what really makes me a little bit upset when here in the West, especially in Canada, we're being taxed to death with this carbon tax and this, you know, I got the radio on now. All they talk about is climate change, COVID, climate change, COVID, climate change, you know, oh my God. As if, you know, Canada, it's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of square miles of virgin forest. You know, there's...
Right.
We have a very low population density. You know, 95% of the Canadian population lives within 50 miles of the U.S. border. And as soon as you go half an hour north, you're in the middle of nowhere, which is where I am now. There is no pollution. But nobody ever talks about China's carbon output. China is responsible for more pollution than every Western country, every South American country, and even every African country combined. China outperforms all of them in the amount of pollution. You know,
but isn't that because of all the corporations that have moved there to exploit the cheap labor?
Yeah.
Because when I was there, I saw all these buildings going up and all these, what do they call those things? Those gripping machines that are building high rises.
Oh, the cranes, yeah.
The cranes, yeah. There were cranes all over.
Yeah.
Building. And you saw, McDonald's and you saw Motorola, and Motorola pretty much left the country. Completely. The people that were, the companies that were producing, all left. And you can't, you really, they're not producing anything here, and you have to wonder, well, gosh, your country is only as rich as the merchandise it provides.
That's right.
And so if you're not producing anything, you're going to sink into poverty, which our country has sunk into poverty.
Yeah, I used to see, we'd go into these big fancy office buildings and things like that, and there'd be a brass plaque at the front door, near the front door somewhere, and the brass plaque would say, donated by IBM, mm-hmm. donated by Hewlett-Packard, donated by Apple, donated by, all these American companies. And I remember thinking, and this is back in 2000, this is after the free trade agreement was signed and all the jobs here in Canada went to the United States and then went to China.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, no, I was working as a publicist, but all the marketing and media companies all went back to the United States because they no longer were forced to open up an office here because of the trade regulations. Mm-hmm. So, I got a job, in the United States. In San Francisco, but that job went to China, and so they shipped me to China.
Wow.
Yeah. But I remember thinking, while our own countries are suffering under huge unemployment, why the hell wouldn't these companies invest in their own country?
Because they like cheap labor. Our country is really a corporation, and it became a corporation shortly after the so-called Civil War. And so, it's all about the corporations making the money. And if you have to, and then you have the labor unions that came in, kind of the left side of the right. And, they promoted the labor unions, which, demanded high wages. And so you have this fight again, the left against right. And of course, the labor unions were very socialistic. And so then you had, people who were demanding all these high wages. And now you have Detroit, which is it's kind of not a good place to live.
Yeah. Well, and the whole idea that paying workers high wages is what causes businesses to suffer, that's nonsense.
Sure.
Henry Ford proved that. He paid his workers a really good wage, and what did they do? They spurred the economy, they bought cars, they bought homes, and
it was a good thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, so instead of the CEO taking home, $10 million a year, he takes home $9,500,000 because they paid their workers a little bit decent, it doesn't make any difference anyways, but it's just this unparalleled greed, but it's more than greed. It's really evil, Deanna, these people are just, they want to see other people suffer. It's not enough that they're rich, but they have to feel like everyone else is poor.
Which is very sad.
Yeah, and that's the way of the world, So, so China is the most polluted country in the world. They have a thing called cancer villages. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Well, the thing is that every heavy metal manufacturer, bioweapon manufacturer, agricultural pesticide manufacturer dumps their waste product untreated into the local river. So now downstream, there's farmers that drink that water and there's villages that drink.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and they use the water to irrigate their crops and things like that. So you have, the further downstream you get, the more polluted the water is, full of pesticides and heavy metals and radioactive materials. So, excuse me. And so all these villages started having enormous increases in cancer. And there'd be dozens and hundreds of villages, and this is every major river in China. And all of this, of course, eventually washes out into the ocean, along with all the right. plastic and garbage.
Oh.
Dead bodies, you know, they would have swine flu come through and kill off, you know, a couple hundred thousand pigs. See, they would just throw them in the river to rot away. And it would all get washed downstream, and the further downstream you are, the more cancer cases you have. And there's no health care for them, and there's no treatment for cancer. So all these people were dying. They did a story about this back in around, you know, 2003 or something. I think it was published in Time or something like that. But and it's called The Cancer Villages. That's just a part of it, you know, and the air pollution. Yeah. Beijing, the air pollution is just horrendous. And the same thing with Shanghai and Shenzhen, and Hong Kong was pretty bad too. You know, I remember Hong Kong, but, and yet nobody ever, you know, there's no Greta Thunberg going to Beijing saying, how dare you? You know,
right.
Even though these are the people, the vast contributors to worldwide pollution, them and, you know, all these other Southeast Asian countries, Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand. I mean, they don't have landfill sites. They literally just take these dump trucks and dump it into the ocean. So when you hear about this, you know, now San Francisco can't have plastic straws or something like that. But listen, mm-hmm. let me tell you, it's not the plastic straws from San Francisco that is contributing to this plastic island in the middle of the Pacific. It is Southeast Asia. They literally dump, and India too, another one.
Did they do this before the invasion of the American corporations?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. The whole concept of looking after your environment and saving endangered species and not polluting and things like that, that is an entirely Western concept. The Chinese never thought like that. You know, we get these fantasy stories. Oh, the Chinese, you know, because of Taoism, you know, they're closer to nature. Well, a few are, but the vast majority aren't. Everywhere you go in China, where there's like that Chinese tourists go, is filled with garbage. Talk about littering. They just throw it in the bush. They throw it on the trail. They throw it in the river. The concept of not littering is not a Chinese concept. That's purely Western. So they were like that before, but now it's on steroids, you know, with all the factories and all the stuff that they mass produce and all that. It's horrendous. And then
I did notice, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
But when I was on a ship going down the Yangtze River, the water smelled like gasoline.
Yeah.
I couldn't even go out and on the deck. And you could see it floating on top of the water.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have a break. We'll be right back in a jiffy. Be right back. And we are talking with our guest, Stefan Verstappen. And we were talking about, I had mentioned that I was on a trip. See, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but it was in 2007. And I was on a ship going down the Yangtze River. And the oil and gas that were floating on the top of the water, plus the smell was just so bad that I couldn't even go out on the deck. It was very terrible. And I mentioned earlier about all of the pollution in Beijing, because they don't have any laws about this. And I did see poverty, but I also, if you look at China and India, and some of these countries that have a lot of antiquity, you find the good things that they practiced, that they believed in. The old Chinese medicine before Rockefeller went over and did his tricks on them. They taught, they had good things. There was poverty. I think probably there's been poverty in every country, and for the same reason. People take advantage of people monetarily, and there's an elite in every country. Correct?
Yeah, psychopaths.
Yeah. Okay, back to the original thesis is that we are ruled by psychopaths. It doesn't matter what country you're in. Even if you start out as a virgin country, the psychopaths are going, we've all got a target on our back. Correct?
Yeah, yeah. And it's been that way for thousands of years. It's,
yes.
Which is why I am an anarchist in the classical sense of the word, which means I don't want people to tell me what to do. I'm happy not to tell you what to do. And in return, I don't want you to tell me what to do. But we have now governments that are out of control that now dictate everything you do. Oh, my God, they have the rules and regulations. And look at what they're doing. I mean, we have – and these are – remember – government is always run by psychopaths. It always has been. It always will be. That's why, you know, they all worship the pyramid. Well, what is the pyramid? I think the reason they worship the pyramid is because it's a pyramid scheme. It's a hierarchical structure, which means the guy at the very top of the pyramid tells everybody else what to do. And the person that reaches the top of the pyramid will always be a psychopath. And the people that will reach the top 20 levels of the pyramid will always be psychopaths. And that's why I'm against hierarchical structures and why I'm against government, because it's a hierarchical structure.
Yes, indeed. All righty, we're at the top of the hour, and we invite your phone calls in the next hour. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Stefan Verstappen, and his main website is ChinaStrategies.com, and he is the author of The Art of Urban Survival and The 36 Strategies of Ancient China and A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior. He's got a lot of information on his website, and I invite you to visit the website of MainOneChinaStrategies.com. We're talking about psychopaths. Now, I believe that a loving intelligence created the world, the earth, and it's a lattice work of energy. We're all lattice work of energy, and that it was pretty pristine at one point. And now, because of people who, the psychopaths of the world, have they don't care about those kinds of things. They care about themselves. They'll stab people in the back for status reasons. Psychopaths climb over the backs of other people to get ahead. And they don't care what they do or who they hurt, whether it's a person or the earth or whatever. Correct? Stefan, are you there?
Oops, sorry, I had it on mute. Okay, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, I do that too. Mute's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, I was coughing. I didn't want to be interrupted. Adam, I'm not sure, Deanna, that things were ever any better than it is now. Maybe, you know, 15, 20,000 years ago it was a
little bit. Right, yeah.
You know, if you follow the electric universe theory, mm-hmm. which I do.
I do too.
I think they're brilliant. They have explained things I've had questions for 40 years and I never found a satisfactory answer from regular science until I came across the electric universe theory. So maybe when Saturn was our sun, for those who don't understand, never read this theory. I know it's way out there. It's way out there. And I'm not one for wild theories. I don't believe in UFOs and ghosts. Mm-hmm. And, well, I did see a ghost once, but anyways, I still don't believe it, But, maybe it was different.
Electric universe is the same as energetic universe. Electric is a frequency and, energy is a frequency. So we believe the same thing. We just use different terminology.
Yeah, and which also explains all of the ancient Eastern religious writings that says we are all connected, we are all one, we're all united. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's true. We're united through a plasma electrical frequency.
Right.
And so if you take that into account, now I've never been a believer in ESP, even though, when I was younger, I had prophetic dreams that came true. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. It was exactly the way I dreamed it. And how do you explain that? But if you understand the electric universe theory, then we are connected through.
We are. Absolutely.
Through frequency. So things like mind reading and transmitting messages over great distances just through thought. Absolutely possible.
Of course.
I've never been a believer in astronomy. But according to the electrical universe theory, there now might be a plausible reason for that. And that is that, yes, we are connected with all the planets and all the suns in the universe. So, yes, we can. But anyway, so but the reason I say I don't believe it was very always. Or that it was any better. And that was because of the discovery of that mummy they found in the Alpine, in the Alps in Switzerland. I forget what they call them, the Yami or Yumi or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was a 20,000 year old mummy. He had been frozen in a glacier.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until the glacier started to melt, 20 years ago that they discovered him. Well, it turns out he was murdered. He was murdered in secret. They found an arrow embedded
right.
in his hip, and then, which must have slowed him down. Somebody was chasing him. They chased him up the mountain. They shot him with an arrow, wounded him, and then they bashed him in his skull.
Right. Nice and, people.
Yeah. So, wow, this is Ice Age, and they found it really curious that whoever murdered him did not take his copper axe, which would have been a prized possession. But they think that the reason that they didn't steal the copper axe is because if the murderer had returned to his village, everybody would immediately recognize the copper axe, right?
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even going back into the far distant Ice Age, people were being hunted down and murdered by their own clansmen. You know, so I don't know, Deanna, I don't know what's happened, what it is with humanity, something with our species. I'm almost inclined to believe the Archon theory, that there are interdimensional evil spirits that infect humanity and cause this kind of evil. There's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us as a species. There really is.
There is that hunter and hunted in just about every, even with animals.
I've tried to explain this through predator prey philosophy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. In nature, lions don't hunt down
for profit. They just hunt deer to eat
for profit, and then keep them in pens as slaves to work for them.
You know, you're right.
I mean, it doesn't work in terms of predator prey. I've tried. I've really tried to analyze this. Okay, psychopaths are predators. The rest of us are prey. Okay, I understand that. But still, there is no natural equivalent to the cruel horror that humans inflict. There's no natural equivalent. The only thing that comes close is in the insect world. So we are, let's leave behind the world of mammals and even reptiles. We have to go all the way to the insect world to see the kind of cruelty and slavery, because, you know, you see that with certain wasps that are going to a beehive and kill everybody, and, you know.
Right.
You see that with, you know, army ants that will just, you know, raid another the ant farm and ant hill and just murder everybody and tear them to pieces and haul them off to be slaves. So, I don't know, but even then there is a level of evil existing among humans. I can't explain, Deanna. I've tried.
We're more intelligent, or more developed intelligence.
Yeah,
not saying smartness, more developed. In the way that we were created, you know, we have intuitiveness, we have many gifts that animals do not have, and unfortunately those gifts can be used for good or evil.
Yeah, you know, I still don't know the animal, you know, could be used for good or evil, but why is it always evil?
Because evil stands out so much.
Yeah.
You rarely hear in the newspaper, which I don't read the newspapers either, but if I did, we would rarely hear about somebody doing something really wonderful.
No, there's a lot of good things that humans do, absolutely. I mean, we're the only species that actually looks after another species unrelated to us. You know, think of all
right.
the animal rescues and how... You know,
yes.
that people are, you know, all those videos of people saving wild animals and
yes.
rescuing them and rehabilitating them and nursing them back to health. We're the only species that does that.
Right.
I don't know if that's compensation for the evil that we do.
I don't think it is, because you don't find psychopaths doing that.
No.
No. They would never do that.
No.
Should we take a phone call? We have
sure.
to.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take Chance in West Virginia. Chance?
Yes, hello, folks. Mr. Verstappen, you know, I'm beginning to agree with you. I believe now, based on the cruelty and the outright wickedness, that these people are from another species. I'm becoming more and more convinced because the cruelty is just too outrageous. You know, Mr. Verstappen, and Mr. Verstappen, I also have to tell you this. If you want to get your minimum recommended daily allowance of psychopaths, I suggest you read Tex Mar's book, Psychopaths, Henry Mankiw's 3-volume set about the Illuminati, Fritz Springmeier's book, Bloodlines of the Illuminati. Talk about psychopaths, Mr. Verstappen. It's all in there. And it's becoming to make more and more sense to me because this is intolerable cruelty. It seems like they're doing this just for the hell of it, like they get a kick out of it. This is not normal human behavior. So I'm beginning to be convinced that spiritually they are of another species. And I don't care what anybody thinks because this is too outrageous. It just doesn't make sense no matter how you slice, dice, and chop it. They're just not one of, they're not of us. I'm convinced of that. In your opinion, please, Mr. Verstappen?
Yeah, and feel free to call me Stefan. You don't have to use the formalities with me. I'm very easygoing. But no, I agree with you 100%. This is, you know, I've been trying, I always look for a scientific explanation. I'm a notorious cynic. I don't believe nothing that I can't touch, taste, and smell with by myself. And then I'll believe it. But there is something, I agree with you, and I feel for you too, because I'm the same way. The amount of unparalleled cruelty and evil that's going on all the time. I mean, it's just everywhere you look. The animal cruelty, the child trafficking and murder.
Oh gosh!
And not only that, Mr. Verstappen, if I may mention, even the most sadistic serial killer in the annals of our history aren't even as cruel as these people. I mean, there's something really odd, and I'm beginning to believe that, I don't know, reptilian or whatever the hell they are. I suggest people get their nose in the Bible to find out who these people really are, because I think it's beyond their spiritual understanding. That's what I honestly feel at this point now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it is actually like it's a separate species. There, you know, I don't recognize any humanity in these people whatsoever. And again, I'm sort of, you know, I'm a terrible skeptic, but I'm kind of torn towards this Archon theory that there are, you know, and if you read the Bible, what we're talking about are demons.
Yes,
these people are all
Ellen
possessed by demonic entities. That's what they are.
They are. I'm convinced they are. I'm convinced they're of another species. They're of a satanic bloodline or some kind of, you know, it used to sound weird to me. You know, when I read these things years ago, I thought it was off the wall. But now, I used to think it was off the wall. Some things, even though I like David Icke, he said, I scratched my head and said, nah, this is too outlandish to believe. But you know what? Now I believe it. Because, like I said, when you look in the annals of history, you look at these sadistic serial killers that we executed and put to death, right? They weren't even as sadistic as these people. Think about it. So there's something very, very spiritually wrong here. And people better get over that hump and start facing the fact and look to God, because this is much deeper, much, much deeper than your average person's mind could fathom. It's just too evil. And thank you for taking my call, folks, and God bless now.
Thank you.
Good points, and I agree with you 100%. You know, this is a spiritual battle, and I do my best. You know, I wrote the book The Way of the Warrior because in order to be able to survive what's coming and face the truth of this kind of evil, you have to be tough. You really have to be a warrior. You know, it's like the book Dune, you know. Only the Kwisatz Haderach can face the evil. You know, only the most powerful, enlightened human being can actually turn and face the darkness that exists and not be driven insane by the realization that this evil exists. And most people can't face it. They're cowards. I'm sorry, but you're cowards. But I don't blame you because it is so horrible. Nobody wants to face it. I agree. But when we refuse to face it, we can't fight it.
Right.
You know, we got to turn around, look at it, look at the evil that's going on and say, that's it, no. And what I've done with my life is I live according to virtue and truth. And I don't need an ideology. I don't need a religion. I don't need anybody to tell me what truth and virtue is. It's innate within me. I've had that since I was 10 years old. I know what's right and I know what's wrong, and I don't need anybody to tell me. And I've always tried to live my life according to virtue. And that's the way we have to fight it, you know. But on the other hand, you also have to be able to handle the dark side. You have to be tough. You have to be shrewd. You have to be cunning. And I don't want to be shrewd, and I don't want to be cunning. But if I'm not, I just leave myself open to being a victim. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been trying to teach people, you know, just be smart. You know, figure this out. You know, read behind the lines. See what's really going on. And don't be afraid of it, even though it is sheer horror to face what's going on in this world.
It is. Yes, it is. A comment from our email. There are species that rescue other species. So our listener says that humans are not the only ones that rescue other
species. No, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
And I'm trying to recall. I am on Twitter, and every once in a while somebody will put something on about an animal being saved, and I love animals. I just love animals, and I believe that we have a stewardship to protect animals and to treat them with kindness and gentleness, and mm-hmm. they will respond likewise. And animals have intuitiveness, that they know whether you are, they know. They just know.
They know.
And
yep.
I was telling somebody that the other day that I have met skunks when I would be out in the evening walking, skunks would. I've never been sprayed by a skunk. I could walk through a geese family, and with little babies. And they won't come after me. And yet they come after somebody else that would do that. They'd go and bite them and I've never met an animal that I couldn't communicate with on a kind of a different level.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way, Dan. I'm when I walk through the forest, I am friends with all the wild animals, and
yes.
they sense it. They're not afraid of me. They come up to me. I speak to them, you know, like crazy old wizard.
I thought everybody was like that, and I realized that that isn't the case at all. I've always talked to animals, and they know what I'm saying, and I can feel what they're thinking or saying.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we have some more callers. We'll be right back.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back, and our guest is Stefan Verstappen. And in the chat room, somebody posted an image, which I'm very grateful for, and I'm glad that our email friend brought this up. Anyway, this image is about some big fish. I didn't recognize them personally, but they are saving, they are helping a diver, and I've heard of this often. So thank you for bringing that up, both from our emailer and in the chat room. People that visit and email are just terrific. They add so much to.
You've got a great audience.
Yes, I do. I appreciate them tremendously. Okay, let's take some of those calls. Let's see. Andrea in Oklahoma. Andrea?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
They said, hi. You know, as I'm getting older, which, you know, I'm 66 now, I look at the way everybody looks at this world, and basically, I try to incorporate what they tell us scientifically, like if you look at a wave, it becomes a particle, and if you look at a particle, it becomes a wave, and you can make it be whatever you want. If you think you're going to have a great day, you're going to have a great day. And if you think you're going to have a bad day, hey, you're going to have a bad day. You are a creator. God created you. And what we listen to, because we're so surrounded with the radio, we turn on the TV, and all the information coming out is negative. Not to say that I don't do it too, that you read the paper, it's negative. What you think about, you'll bring about. So since all of us are creating this situation that we are living in right now, and it's hard to turn your thoughts and be a creator and think, how would this be better? If you thought of this world and what would be better for it, that we would all work together. And on the most part, if you ever have your car break down, there's usually somebody there to help you, and they're trying to help you. It seems like I'd meet a lot of people, but if you think that people are good, those people will be drawn to you. And I know I've really been upset about the way the election went because it was blatant theft, but like I, you know, there's just so many different angles to this, but supposedly when you think positive, you're going to bring positive to you, but when you think negative, all that fear creates so much energy, it becomes sticky and it makes it happen even faster. It's hard to think positive, but you can, the universe is listening to you all the time. They have these shows on YouTube, and they're about near-death experiences, about people and their doctors and attorneys and all these people who have experienced these near-death experiences. And it's not like, you know, where you die and you're dead for maybe 6 minutes. These doctors, some of these doctors have been dead 2 hours, and they have these huge experiences, and they come back, and then they have they have telekinesis, or they can see the unseen. God gives you gifts, but none of them. Hello.
Yeah, we're listening. Yeah, you're.
But if you listen to their experiences, when they die and they go into the light, they're surrounded by love, such intense love. And they don't want to come back, and when they're told they have to go back, they're throwing a fit, and all of a sudden, you know, they're kicked back into their body, but nobody wants to come back from heaven. But it's interesting to listen to their stories, and there are hundreds of thousands of them. They're happening everywhere. This Damian Brinkley, he has had 3 of them. He's an ex-Marine, and supposedly, you are given your review on life of everything that you've done, and everything that you've done evil to somebody, it comes 10,000 times fold, and everybody it touches. Like, if you were bad or you killed somebody, then you feeling their mother, their brother, their wife, their children, and all that negativity, you feel it, and how you treated them, and it's more intense. So it's just, these are learning things to see, and it's not as though it's just one person. It's, and you're not getting it secondhand. You're getting it from all these people that have experienced it. And so I think if we would thought or talk to more or try to be more positive of how we could change it in our minds, because we are creators, we could create a better world. I if we could just do that in unison, but hopefully you don't think I'm nuts.
Oh, I think you've presented a lot of very good ideas, And the mind-body connection is very real. And there is a lot of negativity. And if we immerse ourselves in that, we're going to be very stressed. We're going to get sick. We're going to be emotionally upset. We can become physically ill. So we do attract what we are and what we experience. I had a day like that today. I got up just feeling awful, terrible, doom and gloom. And I went and had an energy session, and I came back. I could have flown back, I think. I felt so good. And so we need to do that. We need to take care of ourselves and associate with other people who think the way that we do. All righty, we will be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And during the break, I was thinking about other stories and images that I've seen where two so-called enemy animals will take care of one another. For instance, a cat and a bird will become friends, or something like that, or maybe a deer will be a nursemaid to a little leopard or something. So that I believe it is in the animal world also, and maybe we just aren't looking at the animal world enough. I don't know. Or maybe we don't hear those good stories. We're just hearing about the bad stories. Did you want to respond to Andrea's Andrea's comments before we take another call?
Yeah. I'm problematic on that. It's certainly true that what you focus on is, affect the way the world is. But you see, my problem is with this, and that is all the happy thoughts in the world is not going to stop Bill Gates.
You're right. Yes.
I could wish Bill Gates happiness and love and happiness to everybody around me, but you see, I come from a warrior tradition. Warriors kill the enemy. And now, I'm also, by the way, registered with the Canadian Arts Council as both a visual and a literary artist. So I'm always doing my art. I'm always playing music and feeding the animals and going for long walks in the woods and canoeing and bringing people out into nature. And, I do a lot of things in my life that are positive. But give me 5 minutes alone with Bill Gates. And
I would have you doing that.
I would kill him without any conscience, any regret, without any hesitation. And
he's a monster.
Because he's a monster. And Fauci and Pelosi.
Yes.
And Weinstein and Lightfoot and all these people. Mm-hmm. I would be, and Justin Trudeau. I would not hesitate to murder them with my bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a warrior, and these people are evil beyond all belief, and they don't deserve to live. And if it was up to me, if I could, I would take on the karma of their deaths. So I think it's, the Taoists say it the best. It's about balance and harmony.
Sure.
So I balance my goodness and my kindness, because when you're a good and kind person, there are hundreds of people lined up to take advantage of your goodness and kindness. And so you have to, if you're a good and decent and virtuous person, you need to have a bit of a, it's the iron fist in the velvet glove. You need to be able to push back against the exploitation.
You have to set your boundaries. and not allow people into your life who are unhealthy and who contribute to your, who are just unhealthy and are neurotic or, well, if they're narcissistic, you have to set boundaries and not allow yourself to be abused by people, and people, my son was talking to me about this, that, when two people are givers, it's wonderful. If you have a giver, one person is a giver and the other one is a taker, it's going to be very, very unbalanced. So if you're in a relationship, whether it's a friendship or whatever kind of relationship it is, if you're doing all the giving and the person is doing all the taking, then you need to cut that person loose. You need to set boundaries. You need to love yourself enough not to allow other people to abuse you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the warrior way, which I write about often. And I mean, Aristotle wrote that courage is the first virtue that makes all the other virtues possible. And you need to think about this for a second, because in order to be a good person, you know, the world is coming after you. You know, I had a guy write me once. He said, oh, you know, he lives in Scotland, and, you know, I studied taekwondo. I can bench press 350 pounds. I go into town every weekend, start fights in the bar. And
oh, my gosh.
You know, how would you rate me as a warrior? And I wrote back, well, that's all very impressive, but here's the true test of a warrior. Go out and do a good deed. And if you live through that, then write me back. You know?
Yes.
Because if you do a good deed, if you're a good person, the world comes after you. They hate you. There are demons all around you that will see that you're doing something good, and they will make it their life's mission to destroy you. That's why you have to be a warrior. So I'm a good person. I can, you know, but, you know, God forbid you cross me. I will destroy you, and I will have no regret about destroying you. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not afraid of the government. I'm not afraid of the lawyers. I'm not afraid of the, you know, people with PhDs and degrees and that. You, if you show an indication that you're going to F with me, I will bloody destroy you. No, I will. I'll make your life a living hell. I am not afraid to do that, but leave me alone, and all I want to do is provide joy and happiness and
music
and art and beauty. That's me, you know. But
yes.
I've learned to develop this other side, and we all need this other side. You know, we can go around doing good deeds and being wonderful and spreading joy and happiness, but you also have to be able to suddenly switch gears and pull out the knife and cut the throats of these sons of bitches that are destroying our civilization. You know, you got to be able to turn that switch on and off. I'm good. That's my natural nature. But God help you if you screw with me, because I will destroy you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's take David in Ohio, and thank you. You know how to set boundaries, and that's what we all need to know how to do, set boundaries. Okay, David in Ohio.
Hi, Deanna and guest. I came late to the party. I heard some things that I thought I needed to share. First off, I'm a dog lover beyond comprehension, and I've had several dogs in my life. And one of the things I can say is that I've had so many mystical, magical experiences with dogs that I've never had with human beings. And the reason is because dogs often provide unbridled, unmitigated love. And for some reason, human beings don't. They'd rather douse you with vinegar than give you honey. And in general, and I had never found that with the dogs I had. And, you know, as I was listening to you guys after that last caller, I was going to say some more about animals and such, but I wanted to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about, I was talking to a friend recently about Dante's Inferno, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the narrative on that.
Sure.
But he was shown, you know, heaven and hell, but the point I wanted to make was that he was shown hell, and there's 9 levels of hell in Dante's Inferno, and the devil's at the bottom of hell. But guess what? Of all the sins that people have committed and get punished for, you would think some of the most heinous sins would be at the 8th level of hell, but that's not the case. The people at the 8th level of hell are cowards and traitors. And we are, the reason this country and world is such a mess is because we are a nation of cowards. And we don't even have a bottom line morality anymore. We let anything go. And that's, you know, it's like, you know, the reason that evil prospers because good men do nothing.
That's right.
And I just wanted to share that with you, how instructive that was for me, you know, to know that it's actually, and at the 7th level of hell is murderers. And you would think, oh my God, murderers, they would be at the bottom with the devil. But no, it's traitors and cowards.
Yes, yeah. No, I'm with you 100% on that. And that's why I'm a good man, but I will not allow evil to occur within my influence, within my sphere. That's why I just said, you know, if I were to see evil, encounter it, you know, if I come across somebody abusing a child or, God forbid, abusing a dog, I love dogs. I've always had dogs. I've had, dogs are a unique species, you know. I can't believe there's a whole religion that hates dogs. God forbid I should stumble across somebody abusing a dog, because I will kill them. I can make it look like an accident. I'm a martial arts expert. You know, I can kill 100 different ways, and I would do it. You know, I don't care. You know, anybody that is that evil that would abuse a dog or a child or a woman or exploit people in my presence, no. I will do something about it. I'm not somebody to step aside and watch evil occur.
Right. My last dog that I had, I loved him so much. And I felt so lost without him that I have never replaced him, because he is irreplaceable. He's been gone for quite a long time. I had him. I know where he's buried. And, you know, I maintain his grave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know I'm going to see him again.
No, to me, you know what heaven for me would be? That I would die and I would wake up in a field near a forest by the lake on a nice summer day, and all my dogs would be there.
Yes, all my pets would be there with me. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be my idea of heaven.
Yep.
You know,
me too.
If you can create your own heaven, it would be an endless summer day with all my pets, because I love them so much, and they loved me. I know they loved me.
Oh, yes. Yes, Sam. Yeah. Sam loved me. He told everybody that came into our home. He would come over, and he was a old English Mastiff. He's 165 pounds. He'd put his paws up on my shoulders, and he would look at the person, and he would tell them, she is my person. Do not hurt her. And that's what he was telling them. And, I miss Sam. It's been a long time since he's been gone, but I miss him still.
Me too, Deanna. I lost my dog.
Thank you guys for other.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you very much for calling.
That was a very enriching experience. Thank you.
Yeah, good point.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You too.
Yeah. I agree with everything he said.
Okay, we have Pat in Fort Worth. Pat?
Hi, well, I was going to tell you a story out of the Bible, but I don't think I had time, about how Elisha called bears out of the forest to kill 40 kids, but when you study the word kids, they could be young adults in the Hebrew. And maybe I'll tell you anyway. Okay.
We have very limited time.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what I saw on the internet one time, and it's never listened. Would you rather have a child or would you have a pet? And then so before the next thing it showed is that the pet, he had just ripped all the whole sofa up while you were gone, just ripped everything up, just ripped it all up. And then the babysitter abandoned, left the two little kids long enough that they got a gallon of white paint, and they painted the wall, the sofa, the rug, everything. And so the answer when you have the little kids, you'll probably have some grandkids, maybe even great-grandkids. But if you just have a pet, you just got him about 10, 12 years at the most. So you'd rather have the kids.
Yes, you'd rather have children. Absolutely.
I've always loved children myself. I used to run a kids program in the martial arts school. I was teaching them how to avoid sexual predators because I figured, what am I going to teach a five-year-old to do? Do karate chops, do sidekicks. Okay, fine. But martial arts is meant to protect you from predators. So I taught the kids how to defend themselves against child molesters. And I taught them in a way that was very non-invasive and very safe. And the kids just loved the program. Oh my God, I couldn't get them to leave at the end of the class. It was all role playing and a lot of fun. And I got along great with the kids. The kids loved me. I loved the kids. So I'm a big fan of kids, but I'm also a big fan of pets.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Just, like I said, you miss them, and I gave mine away because I couldn't take him good enough care for him, and he's so happy now. So they even know who they like. You don't have to worry about them.
Sure.
Yeah. As long as they're
okay. Well, thank you so much.
But anyway, I just want people to want to have kids, and that's why I can't understand why they argue about all this election here when it comes right down to the thing. Do you believe in killing babies? Once you believe in killing babies, you're going to kill old people. In fact, the news today is that now you can kill them after they're born. So it's the next step. I mean, there's evil here. It was evil here. It'll probably be evil here until the Lord comes and takes over.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Evil, the devil.
Thank you. There's a lot of it around.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for calling.
Okay, let's take Mark in Florida.
Hey, thanks for letting me in. I'll be fast. There was a woman in Ohio at a football game, a school football game, that was tackled and tased and just attacked for not wearing a mask. And not one man stood up and defended her. And I'd like to thank your guest. Be a man and thank you. I just thank you so much. That's what I want to say. Thank you for standing up for people. Because no one stood up for that woman, and it made me sick. Thank you. Thank you, Deanna.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, I know the story that he's talking about. I saw the video of it. And I am disgusted by what passes for manhood anymore. I mean, there was a time, and I can tell you, I remember as a kid, when that would not have gone down, that the men would have stood up and said, look, get your hands off of that woman, quit abusing her. I mean, this was draconian measures. I know what happened. No, I wouldn't stand by. Thank you very much for calling in, but no. I would go to jail because I would have jumped in on that and I would have wrestled these sons of bitches away from that woman. And, you know, I have to be careful because I am on a watch list, and so I really can't break the law, but you know what? So be it. You know, so be it. I won't stand by for that. And you're right. There's not too many men anymore. This would not have happened 80 years ago, 50 years ago. Our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, these people that built this country, that suffered and worked their asses off and sacrificed so much, but they at least would not stand by idly while we are abused and enslaved by these lunatics. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I can't believe that anybody would do that. Oh my gosh.
No, it's a story. I saw it. I saw it on YouTube. I couldn't believe it, you know. They're outdoors. They're separated from everybody, but she didn't have a mask. And so here comes the Gestapo. And that's not being fair to the Gestapo. Here comes the Cheka, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen YouTubes also. Huh? I've seen YouTubes where people have attacked somebody for not wearing a mask, and I think it's just, it's terrible. How could they do that?
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. People need to stand up. That's why, listen, the last bit of advice, we're almost out of time here, and that is, everybody that's listening, look after your own right now. There is no winning this. They have won. And you need to keep yourself safe. You need to keep your family safe. But there is no winning this anymore. You know,
right.
Just look after yourself. Be prepared. Get tough. Be smart. Look after your own. But there's not much that can be done anymore. It's got to collapse. It's going to collapse.
It has.
Yeah.
We do have David in San Francisco. David?
Oh, yeah, honey. Hey, you know, I don't know if you realize it. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the death of John F. Kennedy. And a couple of days before, he tried to get the Federal Reserve to do Treasury notes. That the U.S. Mm-hmm. Treasury, that we the people didn't have to do a service charge on the cash, that we would print the bills ourselves. So he was dead like a week later. And one of the things, since Trump is on his way out anyway, wouldn't do any good to kill him, and they frankly wouldn't care a bit, but if he were to make coins, like $50 coins, $25 coins, $10 coins, he could still do it before Inauguration Day, and so we wouldn't have to pay a fee to the Federal Reserve for denominations of, should we have a $100 coin?
You know, there were some other reasons why he was assassinated.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, there were Vietnam. I mean, he pulled out of Vietnam a week and a half before. And then what was the third thing?
Well, he told Israel that they could not weaponize. And
No nukes.
No nukes.
They were given, I don't know if you remember it, but the United Nations, one of the very first things they did was to carve up the Middle East and create Israel. That was one of their first, not number one, but it was in there. And it was this idea that if there was a religious people, Jerusalem had to be an international city, first of all. It couldn't have a single country owning Jerusalem because it was so important to Muslims, Christians, and Jews. It's primary.
That's a debatable kind of a situation.
No, the United Nations, that was it.
Okay, I know the United Nations said that, I've written a lot about this on Twitter and studied a lot about it. They were never from Jerusalem. The Jewish people were not from Jerusalem.
Well, they were slaves escaped from Egypt. And, you know, but they could have been from everywhere, but the fact of the matter is that Jerusalem is supposed to be an international city. And when Israel was created, it was written into that charter that, that Jerusalem would always remain an international city so that, devotees, you know, the religious, the pious would be able to come to see their holy city. And so that some local politics, local tyranny, would deprive three different religions. And I mean, you could create World War III just by denying people the ability to go to a temple that's in three different books. And, it was just foolish. So the United Nations did a pretty smart thing. And Trump and Netanyahu, I mean, they're just merchants in the temple. They're just get real estate brokers trying to cash in on a brand new city, except it's an ancient city with a whole lot of complicated problems, and they're going to create a war based upon real estate brokers.
Well, I'll disagree with you about several things based on my research, but I appreciate your thoughts and your...
Yeah, take care. I'm looking for some coin.
Okay, great. Take care. And Stefan... my friend, we just have so much in common. I thank you so much for being on the program today and for your wisdom and your courage. Your courage is just way up there. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you next week.